6, and when you get there, if you'd mind putting a marker there or something similar, and then turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, Numbers chapter 26 and Ephesians chapter 1. You're just saying that one day he's coming again.
Amen.
Then what's going to happen? Amen. Well, some of that is what we're going to talk about tonight, and it won't be long, but I want to show you something that is interesting. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So you say, well, what about the book of Numbers and all these counting of people and the census and the things like that? We are in chapter 26. We've still got about 10 chapters to go. There are 36 chapters in Numbers. And there's a reason for what we see here. And that's what I hope I can get you in touch with tonight just a little bit in the time that we have available. So if you've gotten to Numbers chapter 26, what can I use for a marker here? And then go to Ephesians chapter 1. We have a Bible divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Amen.
Now, those are not words that were chosen by man. Those words were chosen by God. In fact, we saw them in Romans, I think, this morning, if I'm not mistaken. And God is the one that named them that. And why Testament? The Bible says, where am I in? I think it's in Hebrews, but I may be wrong, that a testament does not go into effect until the death of the testator, the one that gave that testament. And so what you've got in the New Testament is a covenant, a will, a last will and testament, we call it sometimes, that the Lord Jesus Christ died so that that would go into effect.
Amen.
And who are the benefactors of that will? Born-again believers.
Amen.
And don't forget that word believers. We're going to see that here in just a minute in the book of Numbers. So the Bible uses the word inheritance 200 or more times, talking about that idea of receiving something. And remember now, you and I understand this, an inheritance goes to family members normally, doesn't it? Ancestors. My wife works downtown and she works in the probate court. And what they do is, one of the things they do is they sort things out. When someone dies without a will, they sort things out and decide who gets the money. Well, good news for you. That's not going to happen for us because we've got a will.
Amen.
And it plainly says, here we are in Ephesians chapter 1, if you're there. Look with me in chapter 1 and in verse 10. It says, and I'm jumping into the middle of a sentence, but you'll catch up here. It says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and oh, that's a whole message right there, but anyway, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
Say, Pastor, I don't have anything. You will. Amen? Maybe some more than others. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then if you go down to verse 14, it says that you got to read the end of verse 13. It says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What is an earnest? Anybody ever bought a house and you paid earnest money? It's the same exact thing. It is a deposit, something that is given up front to prove the sincerity of the transaction. And so the Holy Spirit that dwells in you is God's way of affirming that you and I are his children and that we have an inheritance. He goes on in verse 18. He says, and again, I'm in the middle of sentences here, but we're just trying to get the general idea. The eyes of your understanding may being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I was just thinking as we were enjoying our song service tonight, wouldn't it be great if every Sunday was just like today? We had a good day today, amen?
Yeah.
Good music, and we always have good music, but of course we have a really special day today. I want you to know something. That's just right now. What do you think heaven's going to be like? An idea occurred to me today. If you can't play the piano now, I wonder if you'll be able to play the piano in heaven. In fact, I wonder if they'll have pianos in heaven. They're not going to necessarily be pianos, but I know this, there's going to be music. And I also know this, you'll be able to do a lot of things in heaven you can't do now. But at any rate, the thing we enjoy right now pales in comparison to what we have waiting for us.
Amen.
Amen? I've never in my life have I obtained or received on this earth an inheritance. It's a sad, funny story, but my father remarried, and I never was adopted by the lady that he remarried, and he died first. And so when he died, all of his money went to her, and when she died, all her money went to my stepsister. And that's okay. I've got an inheritance in heaven.
Amen.
And you say, well, Pastor, I've never received one. You will. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word and flip back to Numbers, if you would. Numbers chapter 26. And I'm going to read some things here, and they're really kind of obscure, but just listen, and then we'll make some sense out of this. It won't be long. It's already 10 till 7, but we'll just take a few minutes and see some exciting things, I think. I'm in Numbers chapter 26. I'm going to begin in verse 52. Numbers 26, 52. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, unto these the land shall be divided for an inheritance, according to the number of names. To many thou shalt give the more inheritance, and to few thou shalt give the less inheritance. To every one shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him. Notwithstanding, the land shall be divided by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers shall they inherit. They shall inherit. According to the lot shall the possession thereof be divided between many and few. And and then let's just skip down to verse 62. Save a little time here. He's talking about the Levites being numbered in verse 57, but in verse 62 he says those Levites that were numbered of them were 20,300, all males from a month old and upward, for they were not numbered among the children of Israel because there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. Now these are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these, there was not a man of them who Moses and Aaron, the priest, numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, as we assemble before you, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And the Holy Spirit, it's our desire the Holy Spirit would work now in our midst. And just show us a few things in the Word of God tonight that would be valuable to us, a blessing to us, an encouragement. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time. And again, we just thank you for what you've done. Bless the young people as they have their meeting in the back. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know the name Leona Helmsley? What a strange name to say in church. You may be seated. Leona Helmsley. Anybody? Probably the fewer the better. There was this lady in New York quite some time ago, I don't know, decades ago, and she was known for being a really rotten person, but she was very wealthy. In fact, she was a billionaire. She obtained most of her money by marriage, but some of her money was hers to begin with, and it's a long, silly story. But what's really sad is when she died and she wrote her will and testament, she left $12 million to her dog named Troubles. And you laugh. The dog, if he would have known what he was getting into, might not have liked that. I'm trying to figure out, what could you do for a dog with $12 million? You feed him the very best dog food and hire a full-time caretaker for him, and you still got $11.5 million or more to spare, amen? My cat eats a lot, but that's not even approaching the number here. The funny thing, if you want to call it funny, it's kind of sad in a way, was because of other folks that thought they deserved her money, the dog had to be put in hiding because of all the death threats, because people didn't appreciate the fact. And I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be sad if you didn't have anybody you loved any more than that you had to give your money to your dog? Now, Tim loves his dog, amen? But I doubt very seriously that the dog's going to be in the will. And I I've had some nice some animals in my day that I appreciated, but I would never have thought that that's the one person or one of the people in my life, if it's even, if you can use the word people, that I would give my money to. No, you give an inheritance to somebody you care about, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen? Now remember this, an inheritance is something, by definition, it's passed on. Okay, so it's given and given and given to the family, keeps it in the family. We're a part of the family of God if we're saved.
Amen?
Amen? And God loves us, and so He's given us an inheritance. It's eternal. I know this. When we step into eternity, I'm so glad we sang that song last. Someday He's coming. Amen?
Yeah.
And when we step into eternity, I guarantee you, money is not going to mean what it means to you now.
That's right.
You will never... When I was in college, occasionally I got so poor I had to go through my dresser looking for pennies so I could go buy a popsicle. And you will never have that happen in heaven. When you get to heaven, there's no account of money in heaven. And it's going to be a different kind of situation. But there will be possessions in heaven, won't there?
Yeah.
Amen? I know this. We've got a mansion, the Bible says. And we have an inheritance. And it's an eternal inheritance. And so just a couple of interesting things here in Numbers. And again, I won't take too long about the way God gave the inheritance. Now, let's go back and just set the stage in case you've kind of questioned where we're at. In chapter 26, we still have 10 chapters of Numbers to go. Some of them have got some really good practical stories that we can learn from. And then there are some laws that we'll kind of move through of some things. But everything happening in the last 10 chapters of Numbers is God getting the people ready to take the promised land. Let me say that differently in the same meaning. God getting ready for the people to receive the land that was their inheritance. It was theirs to have. Now, they could have had it about 38 years ago or so, 38 or 39 years ago. And remember that census that we went through a long time back, and we looked at the census. I don't know how long ago that was. I could look at my notes. But we read that census, and we compared it last week to this census, and they're about the same number of people, roughly. And all those people, look at verse 65. He says, well, it was 64. Among these, in this census, there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered. Back, that's the first census, when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. Nobody except two men lived to see the second census. Because what?
Unbelief.
That's the first thing you know about God's inheritance. His inheritance is for believers.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
You know, that's the funny thing about an inheritance. You don't have to work for it. I know sometimes a will may have some strange stipulation. Leona Helmsley's will, apparently she was concerned about her husband being visited by his relatives, and so she said in her will, well, if you're going to get your inheritance, you have to visit your father's grave at least once a year. That's sad. You don't visit a grave because you're made to. You go there because you loved that person. Amen?
Amen.
I just want you to know, though, if they're saved, they're not there. They're in heaven. And my father's grave is in Shelby. My adopted father's grave is in Shelby, Montana. I remember the day he was buried, but never have been there since then. But that's okay. He's not there either. He's with the Lord.
Amen.
You love is a basis for an inheritance. And the love that we have for God is based upon, we saw it this morning, in fact, that the Holy Spirit sheds that love abroad in our hearts because we have received Christ as our Savior. If you're here tonight and you don't have a whole lot in this world, I just want you to know something. You have an inheritance waiting for you in heaven if you've trusted Christ. That's because God loves you and He prepared that for you. So as you read this, just a couple of things. We won't take too long. First of all, the land was divided based upon two things. If you look at verse 53, he says this, the land shall be divided according to the number of the names. Now, if you've ever seen a map of Israel, you've probably seen this in the back of your Bible. Don't look now. But in the back of your Bible, there's probably some maps of Israel if you have a Bible with maps. And there'll be names on that map of Israel. Dan, Naphtali, Reuben, Gad, and so on. And what are those names? Those are the tribes of Israel. And those tribes... on that map, whatever the date of that map is really kind of irrelevant. We know that the southern portion of Israel belonged to Benjamin and Judah. And those locations were given to those people in this disbursement, if you will, in this time when God made this inheritance, when Moses gave it out. And God put Judah here and Benjamin there and Gad there. And you say they drew lots, but truly doesn't God control the lot?
Amen.
Footnote, if you gamble, you know what you're doing? You're forgetting about God. Because God controls all the details. If you want to gamble, you need to read the book of Esther. There was a man named Haman. He liked to gamble. He lost. If you remember the book of Esther. And you talk about a guy with bad luck. Haman. Remember Haman? He's the one that he hated Mordecai the Jew. And so he built a 75-foot gallows to hang Mordecai on. And then Haman, he was really happy with himself, and he was telling his friends and his wife, "Oh, I've got everything. I've got money. I've got great kids. The king likes me. It's just, how good could life be?" And he had cast lots, rolled dice, basically, to pick the best day to kill the Jews. Nah, that's foolish. And when the day came to kill the Jews, guess what? By then, Haman had been hanged on his own gallows. One of the funniest stories in the Bible, I just briefly mentioned it, you know the story. Haman came into the king's court one day, and the king says to Haman, "What do you think I ought to do for somebody that I want to honor?" And Haman, in his pride, thought, "Must be me. Who else deserves to be honored more than I do?" And what he didn't know was the king had sat up all night, couldn't sleep, got the books out, opened the book, and found out that Mordecai, Haman's enemy, had reported a rebellion and saved the king's life. The king didn't want to honor Haman. The king wanted to honor Mordecai, Haman's enemy. That's bad luck, right? No, that's God. And so you say, well, they drew lots. That's just God's way of getting the job done. And enough said about that. But it was a fair inheritance. It says in verse 54, "To few thou shalt give the less inheritance, to every one that's a tribe shall his inheritance be given according to those that were numbered of him." Now hold that thought. We'll look at something else. So then he says in verse 55, "The land shall be divided by lot." So they're going to draw, if you will, put the names in a hat or whatever and pull them out. "According to the names of the tribes of their fathers, they shall inherit. According to the lot shall be the possession thereof, shall it be divided between many and few." And so when they picked an area, then how many of them were there? And that's how big the inheritance was. Folks, God's a fair God.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I got to teach you the third one, then we'll tie them all together. We've already mentioned it. And we'll come back and talk about the Levites at the end. But in verses 63 through 65, the point is made, in the first census, there were these 600,000 people, and that's not all of them. That's just the men over 20 that could go to war, excluding the Levites. In the last sentence, there were a census, there were about the same number, a little over 600,000 men that could go to war over the age of 20, not including the Levites. And none of these people here were counted in the first count. That doesn't mean they weren't alive, but they were under the age of 20. None of the people, none of those 600,000 people that God counted, that they counted 40 years earlier, were in the inheritance because they didn't believe God. Thought. And it's emphasized here. God keeps his word.
Amen.
You say, well, what are the terms? How is God going to reward me? Reward us when we get to eternity? Well, if you really want to know the answer to that question, read your Bible.
Amen.
I'm not going to give you all the details right now, but I know this. Corinthians talks about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And it says when you build certain things, that's going to be, I'm really paraphrasing here, but that's going to determine what you receive in eternity. The Bible says there are crowns to be given to those that do certain things. You've probably heard them called different things, the soul winner's crown, the crown of righteousness, and so on. Well, folks, God keeps his word. And I believe this with all my heart. And it changes the way you live if you do believe it. To those that are faithful and serve God, there's going to be a greater reward.
Amen.
And there's going to be a more substantial reception or receiving of things in eternity. And I don't think there's going to be poverty in heaven. I don't think there's going to be people. You've heard that song about a shack or whatever in heaven. I don't know. I think it's going to be a wonderful place. I know this. You're going to be happy. And one of the reasons you'll be happy is because finally, maybe for the first time ever, you will accept the fact that God is right.
Amen.
You say, how can we be happy if God casts somebody into hell? Because God is right. And once we have the mind of God in things, we'll be happy.
Amen.
He'll wipe away the tears. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no viruses in heaven. Amen? And for all eternity. Oh, by the way, just a little footnote here. You really need to think about something, and that is children right now, who we forget about sometimes, many of them are really afraid because they hear all this talk and they read all these things and they hear their parents talking about what they've heard or they see something on TV or whatever about this virus. And to a child, that's just an unknown, terribly dangerous thing. And we had prayer this morning. And I think both times we prayed, somebody mentioned that, if I'm not mistaken. And I've heard it from other people. Children have said things to me recently about it. We need to remind our children that they can trust God.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, I trust God. I don't walk out in traffic. In other words, I'm wise. I don't do foolish things, and I don't test God. I live in a way that exhibits consideration for safety. But I trust God. And let's teach our children that, amen? And oh, by the way, let's believe it, and then they'll get it from us, maybe. But that little rabbit trail, I come back to the fact that God keeps his word. The inheritance is going to be based upon what the Bible says. And the rewards in heaven will be based upon what the Bible says. There's a fairness here. He met the needs, but it was according to his will. And the unbeliever did not receive any inheritance. That, again, ought to change the way you live. All right. One more thought, 5 minutes, we'll sing a song and be on our way. I want to show you something interesting about the Levites. And you know, the Levites were the tribe that was chosen to serve as priests. they had a special role. They were there to serve God and really to serve people in order to serve God. And you say, well, the Levites got kind of shortchanged. Let's see the whole story, and you won't necessarily believe that anymore. But look at what happens here. And I read it to you in verse 62, at the end of the verse. Do you see that? It says, there was no inheritance given them among the children of Israel. All right, so don't forget now, we had Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Remember that? So now the tribe of Levi is set aside, but there are still 12 tribes because Joseph's tribe now is split between Ephraim and Manasseh. So there's really 13, but 12 of them get an inheritance. You say, what about the Levites? Did God not consider them? He did. And let me show you that. And what I want you to do is to flip over to chapter 35, Numbers chapter 35. Now again, all of this, the end of the book of Numbers, is in preparation for that when Joshua takes leadership and they go in and take the promised land, and God's getting them ready for the promised land. Numbers 35, chapter 35, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. That's right where they were in chapter 26, by the way. Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city outward 1,000 cubits round about. And remember, a cubit's about 18 inches, and so I'm not going to do the math right now. But anyway, ye shall measure from without the city on the east side. And he tells them all how to do all this. In verse 6, among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge. In verse 7, all the cities ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. So did God forget about the Levites?
No.
But God used the children of Israel to provide them with the inheritance. And the Levites were divided amongst the 12 tribes so that each of those tribes could have Levites in their vicinity so that they could serve those people. And even today, you say, well, Pastor, what would happen if I decided to serve God full time? Well, God will take care of you, but he takes care of you through God's people. Amen? And that's fine. God can take care of you. Some people say that'd be great to be a Levite. Some wouldn't like that job so much. I know this. It's good to serve God. Amen. And if he puts you in that position to serve him and he gives you a special situation like that, then that's fine. So we have the division is fair. It's needs are met. It's done by God's will. The Levites are excluded. No unbelievers. Now let's finish up in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll sing a song and be on our way tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, Peter. A couple of days ago, I guess it was about a week ago actually, one of our young men in our church sent me a text message. He said, Pastor, I am debating with a Catholic priest. And the Catholic priest wants to know why it's wrong to drink fermented wine. Did Jesus drink fermented wine? And I said, well, here's a story. Back in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 20, the Bible says wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. All right? So that's God's opinion of wine. Why would God tell you something is bad for you and then drink it? So he told that to the Catholic priest, and the Catholic priest said, well, that's Old Testament. And I was thinking, yeah, so's murder. So I guess it's okay to kill people now, huh? And no, that's God's law. And I understand the Old Testament laws are, you know, but the principles in the Bible are throughout. So you come to 1 Peter, let's see what God has to say about the inheritance and for you and I. And let's see where we should begin here. Let's just start in chapter 1. And I'll read from 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered. Remember, Peter was the apostle to the Jews, and so he's really addressing a Jewish audience here. He names some places, Pontus, Galatia, which is in Turkey, Cappadocia, Asia, which is over even further north, Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. We'll look at that in Sunday school here in a couple of weeks. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Now, remember, hope is something you don't have yet, right? Hope is something you look forward to. And that hope is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I'll stop reading right there and just tell you, if you could see what God's got ready for you, I think you'd be a whole lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? Busy, but that's not the word. Be a whole lot more confident, maybe, is the word I'm looking for. Amen?
Amen.
Folks, silly old joke I tell all the time. I read the end of the book, God wins.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
I was thinking today, and I was thinking, you know, it's just a blessing to have the kind of service that we had today. And, you know, I'd like to have that kind of service every Sunday. But, folks, God gives us what we have. And just like a young person, and I won't go through all the details, but the culture of Israel, when a child was little, they didn't give them the inheritance when they were young. They waited until they were mature, and then they gave that to them. And we have something to look forward to. And we have a God that between now and then takes good care of us. And whatever God brings your way, and this was commented on today as well, you can thank God for that because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So I know we long for it all to be over. We long for the struggles and the suffering and all the things happening in the world to be behind us. Well, one day they will. Amen. But until then, we just keep on serving the Lord. And he's got that all under control. Israel, in Numbers 26, they're out in the wilderness. There's not a whole lot out there, but God's providing for them. He's given them manna. He's given them water. Somebody asked me about that picture of a rock on the bulletin board, and I've shown you that many months ago, that some people say that's the rock that God split. I don't know, but I know this. God gave them water. And if God can provide for over a million people in a barren wilderness, I think he can take care of us. Amen. And then they could look sometimes from where they were. And I've been on one side of that river, not the other. But they could look from where they were and they could see a river down there. And, you know, you can always see a river in a dry land because that's where the trees grow. So you look for a stripe of green down there. You could see that river and they could see beyond that river. You could probably see Jericho. A little higher and you can see the mountains of Israel. And it's kind of like the way we live our life right now. You know, here we are on this side and we can see there's a place there that we might not think of it as a green fertile place, but there's a place we're going to cross over and then we're going to be with the Lord for all eternity.
Praise the Lord.
Don't live your life. I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time accumulating goodies in the wilderness. Just get ready for that other side. And God will provide for you here, and he'll keep you safe and comfortable, and he'll do what he needs to do for you here. But we're not living for here. There's a promised land right over there.
Amen.
You can see the river. It won't be long. We're going to cross over that thing. In fact, it's a miracle how they got across. You remember the story. We'll get there someday where the water piled up and they walked across. And then that's where the promised land was. And we know people in our church that have gone there already in the last few years, don't we? Well, one day we'll all be there.